Thank you for inviting me this morning, and it's good to see. It's my first time at this meeting, but there are certainly one or two faces I recognize here. And for anybody new and new to Zoom meetings, I hope you keep it up. I'm going to tell you, as I'll tell you a bit later on, Zoom has really virtually saved my life. So where to begin? Well, my name's Alan. As I told you, I actually entered the rooms, as it were, on the 3rd of January 21, which is exactly, I wrote it down somewhere, 424 days ago. So I'm a comparative newbie as well. As you might be able to tell from my little thing here, I'm actually English, British, if you like, living in New Jersey in the United States. It's quite a long story to how I got here. Most of which has got nothing to do with booze, so I won't go into that too much. But just a little bit of background on me. I spent the first 50 plus years of my life living in the UK. My childhood was fairly normal, if you can have a normal. I had loving parents, loving siblings. My home was based between Plymouth, if you know it, and Bristol. And although my father was in the Air Force, so there were a few little sort of spells in between. But that's where I grew up mostly. In fact, received most of my education. Although living in Plymouth, I became a shipwright, actually, working at building ships. But I didn't last that for long. I ended up as a teacher in Bristol. And about 30 years ago, I had a breakdown pension from teaching. Once again, nothing to do with drink, because drink didn't really feature as a problem for me until much later in my life. About 20 years ago, I did move to the States to marry my American wife. And as I said, we now live in New Jersey. So that's my life in a nutshell. My drinking really has never been a problem. You know, I in the sense that I never ended up in the emergency room or anything like that. I've never had a DUI. In fact, since my breakdown, I suppose you'd call it, all that time ago, mental health issues haven't been a problem, and drinking really wasn't a part of that. I guess what some people, or I like to call myself, a sort of high functioning drunk, which is basically somebody who thinks nobody else knows they're drunk. And I'm kind of sorry to say that in the last few years it led to me never being caught, thank goodness, or never hurting anyone, you know, doing everything from driving around to doing all sorts of other inappropriate activities when you're under the influence. But fortunately, or unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, I never got caught or brought up. Although, oddly enough, the only time I have had a traffic stop in 50 years of driving was driving home from an AA meeting. So fortunately, that turned out to be lucky, I suppose you'd call it. High functioning drunk. The last 2 years, two or three years of, you know, the COVID issue led to me being at home a lot. My drinking actually did get worse and worse. It was secret drinking. For a while my wife was still going out to work, I was just permanently smashed. I get up early in the morning, so, you know, from about 6 o'clock in the morning till when I went to bed at night. But just over a year ago, it came to a head, and it really wasn't a particular incident. It was just, I don't know, it was a new year, so it wasn't really a new year resolution, but I was sat there and, can you swear on this? I don't know if you, but I just suddenly I had that WTF moment. And I thought, my God, what the hell am I doing? And I literally, virtually on the spot, confessed, if that's the word, to my wife, who knew all along. Actually, it wasn't really, she'd known for quite a while that I had been drinking, and it was a worry to her, and convinced me to call, there's an emergency line here in New Jersey, and I called, and a nice lady spoke to me, and about 10 minutes later, another person, Pat, I can call him, called me up and said, have you drunk anything in the last 24 hours? Which I hadn't at that time. I hadn't. He said, well, you're coming to a meeting with me tonight, even in the midst of the COVID and everything. So, I went to my first room meeting, 3rd of January 2021. And I'll be honest, the God thing really did worry me. In fact, I said to Pat, who was an American Irishman who still had an American, he was genuine. If you live in America, you know there are Irish and there are Irish, okay? And but he was Irish, he was genuine. And I said, you know, Pat, I'm really worried about this God thing, because you know what, for 50 years, I haven't believed, you know, he's nothing to me, this whatever you want to call it. And he said, I want to do a terrible accent. And he just said, just walk the walk and talk the talk and don't worry about it. And to be honest, I did try to do that at first, but honestly, it started to get to me. I mean, this is America, room meetings, even despite COVID, you know, we all start with the Lord's Prayer and everybody holding hands. And at the end, they all say the Lord's Prayer again and hug each other and do stuff like that. When people come up to you, they say, is God with you yet? You can only get through this with God. And there's me saying, well, you know what? God's not here with me, but I'm just here just because I've got to do my 90-90, really. All sorts of odd things. And, you know, if, you know, you're at the, everybody's got to say their piece bit in the meeting, I'd say, well, you know, my inner voice is, you know, they say, that's not your inner voice, that's God. And I go, no, this is my inner conversation. This is nothing to do with him. Really, I couldn't put up with that for very long. Oh, especially after a few big book readings, which really did do my head in. That's another story. But after really a few weeks, I found secular AA, and I found secular AA Zoom meetings, and they really did, I say, save my life, because I couldn't have kept on drinking like I was doing. They really did keep me on the path, if that's what you want to call it, on the program. The first meetings I went to, people may be familiar with London Islington, and also Stone Age Steps, which were really my meetings I first went to. And it was just such a refreshing change. I mean, the God thing is a big deal. I mean, I don't know what the failure rate is for people in AA in their first few months. I'm talking about regular AA, but because data is really difficult to collect. But I do know there was a Yale University a survey which found that something like 60% of the people who left AA left because of the God thing. It's because they just really couldn't live with that. So as I say, I found myself in secular Zoom, and kind of here I am. I have a fairly laissez-faire attitude to the steps. I know that a lot of people, particularly people who have been through regular AA and have ended up in secular AA, say actually, you know, the steps were and the Big Book, in fact, were a big factor in their recovery. But I found the steps, they kind of looked like a menu to me, a step-by-step diagram, obviously from their name. But I've tended to regard them more as a, rather than a menu, as a sort of buffet, really. And I do confess to sort of dipping in and out of various bits, because, you know, some of the bits, some of the steps, or they might be steps 10 or 11, but I feel I'm kind of already there in that respect. Other steps, like 4, well, I don't know. What do they do? You do step 4, and then step 5 is have a drink. And I'm kind of at that level. I don't know if I'll ever do that formally. But yeah, the steps have been a problem. Having said that, I do go through the steps with the Stonehenge group. They do a regular reading of a sort of alternative steps book by Mann, which is, once again, is, I don't regard that as a Bible, if I can say that here, but I don't regard it as a Bible. It's kind of like, I think if you have a sort of focus in your mind, you could almost read it. You could read The Art of War, or you could read the I Ching. You could read the Bible even from a secular point of view and get something out of it, or focus on your on your needs and get what you want out of it. And Mann is a bit like that for me. You know, to me, he's kind of a Californian ex-hippie surfer dude. A lot of his practical steps are sort of still in that. And me being 70, I've sort of passed that, gosh, as you know, as you can assume, a long time ago. So, you know, once again, I adapt it for my needs. And in a sense, I'm kind of greedy like that. I take and take. But, you know, that's the program that works for me. I hope that through doing stuff like this, and I'm host and co-host of a couple other meetings, sort of do my bit there to help other people. But my help is usually is do what's right for you. And this afternoon, sorry, I'm doing what's right for me. And I'm very pleased that there are people like you that help you, or help me do what is right for me. And that is really the fellowship I found through Zoom. A lot of people will say, you know, you don't have the face-to-face or whatever, but there are people here, even on, I can see on my Hollywood Squares board here, that I know, and probably know as well as many other people, you know, face-to-face, particularly given the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's... That's the kind of situation, but that's where I am at the moment. Going back a little bit to the Big Book, once again, I was doing that in my 1990 when I was really trying my best to be a good AA member. Big Book really did it for me. I think it's it Two Wives, which we read one evening. And I remember, you know, they say, well, what do people think about that? And I stood up and I kind of said what I thought about it. And I was kind of really disappointed. I mean, there were quite a few women there who didn't see the problem. And I think that was probably my very last room meeting. So I know, once again, that you kind of get from a text what you put into it, but there are some texts that I cannot resolve or find it in the least bit helpful for me. So, as I say, it's really meetings like this that help me. It's really good to see people who are here, probably at their first few Zoom meetings. I would like to reiterate how helpful they've been to me, and that, you know, I'll be honest, it's like room meetings. You know, you can go to one or two meetings and find they're not for you. And I've certainly been to even non-secular meetings that are like that. But when you find a group you like, stick with it, because you will find a lot of support, a lot of fellowship, sorority, if you like, there, which you're going to find very helpful. And you know what that's going to do, as I say, do what's best for you, because what's best for you will in the end mean that you're going to be able to help other people. At this moment, like just over a year, you would think after a year that would be a big victory and a milestone, and it kind of was. But I have to say that this first few months, first couple of months after, have been probably the most difficult bit of my sobriety, really. I think it's the danger with having mileposts, that you sort of aim for something and when you get there, it's not as good as you thought it was going to be. And I was hoping, get a year over, it would be some sort of golden dawn, and I would go around basking in the light of sobriety and, have a new life. It hasn't actually been like that, but it's all a slow progress, isn't it? And that progress is really the one thing I did bring from regular AA, and that is a day at a time. Probably the room AA meeting I remember best of all was somehow the meeting had got around to what's the longest anybody's been sober, in the rooms. And, this was a room meeting where a load of old guys, and I've got to say, sorry, they are old guys like me, are sat around sort of saying, 30 years, 25 years, blah, 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 blah. And somebody said, well, what's the record then? And what's the record? And a couple of people say, well, I heard, I was at a conference and there was a guy there, 55 years, that sort of stuff. And everybody's, and then actually one of the few God people actually that I did truly respect in the room meetings said, you know what? The world record for being sober is 24 hours. And that makes every single one of us here a world record holder. And, that has been really that's been the beacon for me. I mean, when I was first in, my stepdaughter was due to get married, and I was thinking, oh God, what am I going to do at the wedding? Don't worry about that. Just worry about getting through the end of today. And that really has been my mantra. And I'm sure I share that with virtually everybody here. So I don't know what else to say, really. That's where I am at the moment. Oh, I've learned a lot about Zoom as well. And you don't want the Zoom stories, do you? But we've had a few wars on there, but that's been quite enjoyable because I'm a bit of a techie, but there you go. I'm sorry, I don't have much more. Well, I have so much more to say. I'm just not very good at this. And this is like my second share I've ever done. So I wrote some notes. Look, I wrote some notes, but I've sort of sped through those probably too quickly.